Country is changing, and you've elected a new voice in the afternoon.
Let me challenge you a little bit on that.
This is the Mario Solis Marriage Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Erin Hart filling in for Mario today. Welcome and thank you for joining me. We've got a hot show on a hot day for you. It's 303-713-7600. You better get on board right away because I know you're going to want to talk the entire 3 hours. Also, you can communicate with me for today at Erin at erinhartshow.com. Actually, you can write me there anytime, Erin at erinhartshow.com. I just mean that Mario's instant messages won't be able to today. Anyway, he's taking the day off. I'm taking over his show for the day anyway, and I'm happy to have you aboard. Now, today is a big day in the history of our Constitution. What, George Bush assaulted it again? No, this time it's the Supreme Court making a big decision. I'm going to reserve what I think and tell you in a minute, but I want to know what you think at 206-713-7600. That's, 303-713-7600. I actually included another area code there. Sorry. Okay. Justices rule for individual rights. That's what they did today. They said in a big way in a decision, as Jim Kessler, whom we're about to talk to shortly, said today will likely please no one in Washington, D.C. and pretty much everybody across the country. Because what has happened, and oddly, this may seem odd to you, because 75% of us basically think, wasn't this already pretty much the interpretation of this constitutional provision of the Second Amendment, which is, yes, you have a right to keep a handgun in your house. You do. You have a right to keep and bear an arm. Now, do you have a right to keep and bear a nuclear missile? That remains to be seen. And I'm being a little silly here, but one thing the court did not address, although apparently it did address rifles, and we'll check up about that too. But what it did was it struck down a decades-old law in Washington, D.C. that basically made it pretty much impossible for people to have a gun. And a security guard basically sued, and this is the beauty of our Constitution, a security guard who wanted to have a gun in his house and could not because he lived in the Capitol Hill area of D.C., decided, I'm going to take on the U.S. government, after the D.C. government, I'm going after this. He did, and today he prevailed, as I said, a 5-4 decision by the Supreme Court basically says that you may have and keep and own a handgun in your home if you live in the District of Columbia. Now, what does this mean? Well, I think one of the things it means, and this is a bit cynical of me, but this is what I think. I think Wayne LaPierre and his lawyers at the National Rifle Association are going, ka-ching, lots more money for us because we're going to be suing every urban area in the country that has anything remotely resembling a ban on handgun ownership. But we'll see, and we'll also check in with Jim Kessler, who has graciously agreed to talk to us, even though it's a little late on his end. He is the vice president for policy at Third Way, and he's one of the nation's leading experts on gun laws. One of the reasons I'm glad, and thank you, John Turk, for passing on his information, that we're going to talk to him is because he's worked for both sides of the fence on this issue. And thank you again, Jim Kessler, for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Well, tell us now, you said, and I already have quoted you, as you know, a common sense decision that will please absolutely no one in Washington and just about everyone else in the nation. What does this decision mean? And I was stunned that this was the first time this has been ruled on in this way in our entire 200-odd year history.
Yeah, the Second Amendment, I mean, there's been tons and tons and tons of cases on the First Amendment. There's been virtually no cases on the Second Amendment. And when there have been cases, they've been pretty minor. They really haven't gone to the heart of, you know, is the Second Amendment an individual right? Is it a militia right? Is it a collective right? And this is really the first one in a long, long time to address that directly. So it's a big decision.
Well, and most people make a big deal, I have in myself at a time, in my own time, in terms of the wording of the Second Amendment. But what they did was they saw it as a whole sentence that, you know, maybe it does pertain to militias, but it also pertains to people being able to own a gun individually. Is that correct? Is my reading correct in that regard?
Exactly. They said that the right to keep and bear arms is really the most important of the operational phrases in that, and that the other clauses really just modify that operational phrase. So they leaned into the right to keep and bear arms.
Or as I like to say, they acknowledged a comma, not a period.
Right.
But I guess what I would say, I mean, I, as you can probably tell, I'm a Westerner, so I've grown up with guns. I don't necessarily advocate everybody having a 50 cal, but I do understand why people have them in terms of hunting, in terms of self-protection, particularly in the country. But urban areas, the opposing argument in this case went along as this is different. We're in urban areas where there's a high density of crime. Why should we allow people to own handguns? What did the court decide? Because I know that it was a 5-4 decision, so obviously the liberal end of the court went the other way.
Right. I mean, what they said was, look, you can pass, as a locality, as a state, as a federal government, you can pass fairly restrictive gun laws. You can pass laws, you know, they didn't enumerate this, but, you know, you can certainly the Brady Law, closing the gun show loophole, licensing and registration of firearms, trigger locks laws, banning assault weapons, you can go pretty far, but you can't go all the way and make it impossible for somebody to own a gun. There has to be, you have to leave some opportunity for people to be able to purchase the most commonly used firearm for self-protection, which is a handgun. Now, in places like Washington, and I live in Washington,
right.
You know, it's, you know, we look at guns differently than the way we would look at it in, you know, Wyoming. You know, it is a dense population, and I don't mean dense in terms of intelligence. I just mean in terms of density.
Right.
And we have unique problems because it's an urban center. But, you know, there's a lot of other cities that have the same problems, and they have not gone as far as D.C. has and completely banned guns. They've done things which they've required licensing and registration and substantial background checks and all sorts of rules, and those laws will still be constitutional.
You think because, well, under maybe this ruling, except that didn't Scalia just, he was the majority opinion writer, and didn't he, the only thing that scares me is he made a point of mentioning that guns can be restricted in terms of ownerships, in terms of felons or the mentally ill. But you're right, he didn't say specifically any of some of the limitations you just mentioned. So I'm, as far as I know, I haven't read the entire opinion, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but won't Wayne LaPierre and the NRA just go, woohoo, we're going to assault everything now?
Well, I think in one sense they're happy, and in another sense they ought to be really concerned.
Okay.
They're happy in that they might be able to go and do some other lawsuits, and I think they're going to be able to raise some money from people to say, okay, we're going to now go after, you know, some law in Boston or someplace else. But they should be very concerned about this decision. The actual wording of this decision is not what they would like. I mean, here's a way to think about it. Imagine that you are the keynote speaker at the NRA annual convention, and you get on stage, and you're standing before them, and you begin with, the Second Amendment protects an individual right to possess a firearm unconnected with service in a militia. You'll get wild cheers. And then you say this. Like most rights, the right secured by the Second Amendment is not unlimited.
Right.
And you go on to say, nothing in this decision should be taken to cast doubt on longstanding prohibitions on the possession of firearms by felons and the mentally ill, or laws forbidding the carry of firearms in places like schools and governments, or laws imposing conditions and qualifications on the commercial sale of arms, and that...
Like, say, the gun show loophole.
Exactly, like the gun show loophole.
Okay.
There's other important limitations on the right to keep and bear arms, and they go on and on and on. And if you were saying this at the NRA convention, you would not be cheered.
Oh,
okay?
No,
I would be cheered.
I'd be booed, and they'd probably offer to run me out on a rail. But to borrow an old-fashioned phrase, but...
Right. But those statements by the Supreme Court in this decision, they're going to carry a lot of weight. And it will mean that as they are trying to take these cases, let's say in a Chicago or in a Boston or some other place that has, you know, much more restrictive laws, lower courts are going to be able to say, look, using Scalia's own words, this law is constitutional because we are allowing people who are law-abiding citizens to purchase and possess a handgun. You know, so these other laws restrictions, you know, they fall well within the constitutional bounds that the Supreme Court just decided.
So you, just to paraphrase just a little bit, Jim Kessler, you don't think that this can be used to, say, take apart the Brady Law or the assault weapons ban?
I think absolutely not. I think the Brady Law is locked in safe on this. They did not mention assault weapons ban in particular here.
Mm-hmm.
They did mention, that there is a limitation that is allowed of prohibiting dangerous and unusual weapons was the term that they used. And then they gave it as an example, like a sawed-off shotgun.
Yeah.
But they made a real point of saying the weapons that are protected were those in common use at the time. And assault weapons, you know, the
AK-47s, machine guns.
The copies
right.
even of them, you know, the,
right.
the like Tech Nines, they're not in common use at the time, and it doesn't clear the standard of what someone would use in their home traditionally to protect themselves.
So even though squirrel rifles were more common when the founding fathers were around, handguns would have been acceptable because they were around, at least not in maybe perhaps wide use, but could have been and should have been allowed as part of the standing militia as well as individual gun ownership.
Exactly.
Okay, but if you've got like, hi, I'm gonna toss a missile launcher into the mix, the answer is no. And in this sense, we're glad that Antonin Scalia is an originalist in that sense, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, it's, you know, I think that there might be some debate about what is common use at the time and what is a dangerous and unusual weapon, but I think that there is, you know, there's a delineation there that they made, and I think that this is not a good day for the National Rifle Association.
Who used the term dangerous and unusual? Was that Scalia?
That's Scalia.
Okay, so it wasn't okay. Excellent. Well, we'll see, Jim Kessler, and thank you for taking time out of a busy evening to join us.
You bet.
Really appreciate it. ThirdWay.org is your organization. That's ThirdWay1Word.org. He is Vice President for Policy at Third Way, and thank you very much for your time and your help in shedding light on this, Jim Kessler. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great evening.
You too. All right, it's 4:18 in the afternoon. This is the Mario Show. Mario Solis Maric is taking a day off. I'm jumping right in. I would love to hear from you. Landmark decision today, Second Amendment. Hey, we're old hats at this in the Rocky Mountain West. You may have been able to tell. I agree with Jim Kessler, basically. I'm hoping that he's right, though. I also am very suspicious of Wayne LaPierre and some national rights. I'm not against the NRA, the National Rifle Association, but National Rifle Association, you know, there are some of them who wear tinfoil hats in addition to pack heat. So those are the guys I'm worried about and troubled by. And if I were San Francisco and say, oh, Chicago, I'd be gearing up for massive legal battles. 303-713-7600, Aaron@AaronHartShow.com. It will reach me fairly quickly. That's Aaron, E-R-I-N, at AaronHartShow.com. You can join me now. It's 4:19 in the afternoon, the mile high. It's getting kind of hot, but come right in. We'll have a heated discussion or a debate or make observations about the Second Amendment. We're also going to be talking about Barack Obama. Has he betrayed the left with his observations on with his vote, possible vote on FISA? What happens when a candidate goes away that you don't like? That's another topic that will be coming up. And we'll talk about Dr. Dobson maybe just a little bit today. All that and more coming up on the Mario Solis Maric Show, 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. How are you? Welcome. Thank you for joining me. We're going to talk about Dr. Dobson and his observations about Barack Obama. We're going to keep talking about the Second Amendment and what it means to us. We're going to talk about Barack Obama and his, who, by the way, I support, in case you haven't been to AaronHartShow.com, I support him, and I actually was a delegate, and I'll talk a little bit about that hopefully today, too. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. So the Supreme Court has said, yep, that extends to you individuals, including you, Dave and Boulder. Welcome, and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk and The Mario Show. Welcome.
Hey, how are you, Aaron? I love hearing you when you do our show.
Me too.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
Okay, well, it's about 90 degrees in Boulder, but hell has officially frozen over.
Yeah.
I agree with Scalia.
I feel the same way. I feel, you know, it's like, what a great line, and I wish I had thought of it myself, Dave. Good.
You know, but I do think he's watching a few too many Die Hard movies with this hold the handgun on the assailant while you call the cops.
Dial the phone.
You know, I've been looking at gun statistics since I was 14 years old. I'm 38 now. And, it's just not that common that things like that happen. But the reason I like this is because I think it protects more than the Second Amendment. I think what we're looking at here is sort of an affirmation of the Constitution. You know, when we don't get to assault the Second Amendment when cities get unsafe, in the same way we shouldn't assault the Fourth Amendment when we're attacked by terrorists. And I think that's what this says to me, is that circumstance does not allow us to assault our Constitution. And I wish Scalia would have thought about that last week when he was on the other side of our detainee argument.
His detainee rulings have made me sick to my
stomach. Well, yeah, it was horrible. But I find it interesting that he can be a strict constructionist on one hand and have absolutely no reading.
But who cares about the Magna Carta or habeas corpus? Yeah.
But I do like this ruling, and I really don't care for guns. I'm pretty much repulsed by all instruments of death. I'm a Boulder peacenik, you know. I don't like guns. I don't own guns. I don't even allow my kids to have toy weapons of any sort. But, you know, I do support this ruling. And I think most, you know, you hear people on the other network, they want to believe that all the liberals out here, you know, want to go into their homes and rip the guns out of their rack. And I really don't care. You know, if that's how you feel safe, great. I have a German Shepherd. That keeps people away from my yard.
You know, I've shot guns off and on since I was a kid, because I grew up in rural Colorado, and that's the thing that you kind of learn, you know. But that does not mean that I wouldn't run over and try to take anybody else's gun unless you've decided that rocket launchers are your things, or you know, AK-47s, or
fireworks that are in my neighborhood are like rocket launchers.
Yeah, and you know, people forget that those are against the law pretty much every day, every time of year around this time. But, you know, this is what I had an image of with him dialing the phone. Is like, you know, there'll be people out there thinking they can balance a 50 cal on their hip while they're dialing 911 with their cell phone. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
I'm a little concerned about that.
You know, I was in the military for 5 years. You know, another misnomer, the rules don't join the military.
Yeah.
But I fired just about every weapon that we were allowed to fire. And the more I did it, the more I decided that it really wasn't for me. But that doesn't mean it's not for somebody else. And, more power to them if that's how they feel protected. And I'm glad of the ruling. That's all I got.
Me too. Thanks, Dave. And good it was. Thank you so much for your time and your help. Oz in Denver, thank you for joining us on Mario's show. It's 303-713-7600 if you'd like to join in the conversation about the Second Amendment ruling today. Hi, Oz.
Hi.
Feel like you're part of history?
Well, I'm sorry?
It's always weird to me when I realize how historical this is, because to me, I've always interpreted that you could probably own a handgun in your house. I just didn't want you to be able to get, you know, say, machine guns.
Well, you know, it's kind of odd because you were talking about 50 cals. I actually own a 50 cal.
Why does this not surprise me? Okay.
And it's not something you carry on your hip.
No, I know that. That's why I said that. It was ridiculous.
It's a big weapon.
I know.
And it's something that you have to own and own with responsibility.
Well, you know, I could quibble with you on your right to own it and maybe put it under that dangerous description in the ruling today. But on the other hand, you know, because one of the things that Scalia is, of course, is a strict constructionist. So presumably he'd say those weren't around in the Revolutionary War. Come on.
Oh, that's totally wrong.
Well,
that's totally
50
wrong.
Cals?
50 caliber and bigger
weapons.
Oh,
you know, I guess, you know, they might have been. 50 cals, you may be right. You may have me on that one.
50 caliber and larger weapons were in World War I.
No, we're not talking about World War I. I'm talking about the Revolutionary War, not the First Civil War.
Oh,
but
okay.
50 cals
okay.
weren't around during the Revolution, were they?
Well,
unless I'm...
There was probably something equivalent to a 50 caliber.
I guess you could pick
pellet.
Up a 50 cal or pellet and throw it at somebody's head. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm sure there was. They
yeah,
had
maybe.
Cannons.
Yes, you guys always work really hard on figuring out how to kill each other, but go ahead.
But honestly, I'm not defending the whole simple fact that somebody should be able to own a weapon like that. Unless they have the responsibility and the
Rarenthal
and so on and so forth.
Here's my problem with it. I see it more as a hunting and self-defense kind of tool, okay? And I don't know what pleasure you get out of your 50 cal. What's the deal with that? Because I think guns are noisy, and I have to use super-duper headsets when I use them because I can't stand the noise because I like my eardrums and I want to keep them. But I don't understand the lure of, I guess, big, fat weapons. But I'm not a guy, so, you know.
Hunter.
So but what are you going to shoot with it?
Targets.
Okay. You just like to watch stuff blow up?
Well, kind of, yeah.
Then do it in a video game, dude.
Well, no, because I'm not a video type person. It's more fun when you're actually experiencing it and holding the gun, and it's like, oh, ooh.
Yeah, see, this is what it is. It's sexual, isn't it? Come on, it is. Fess up.
Well, maybe.
Maybe just a little.
Maybe a little.
Just kind of little?
Maybe
okay.
A little.
And that may be why I kind of don't get it, you know, because I don't have one of those, so I don't necessarily think along those lines. And also, well, girls aren't trained to blow things up either. I'm not saying we can't blow things up, because certainly we're equally adept at serving in the military. I never, ever want anybody to use my personal feelings. You know, I'm more like Dave. I've seen people die. I've seen people ripped apart by bullets. I don't really necessarily need to have that movie in my head anymore. You know what I mean? And I mean live, in person. I don't mean like on a movie set, although I've seen that too. But I just don't. I have a kind of distaste for them that I eat meat and I don't apologize for it, but I don't necessarily want to blow things up. But it's okay with me if you want to blow things up,
but
just for the sheer sport of blowing things up.
Not blowing things up.
But I'm not sure I want you to be able to own every single assault rifle that you feel like owning.
But it's not like that. I mean, I used to be a paramedic. I've seen people die. I've been
okay.
to very gruesome accidents and stuff like that. So
gotcha.
It's not about that. It's just you know, if you have a right, as the Second Amendment says, you have a right. If nobody's read it, then obviously they're ignorant to the Second Amendment.
Well, no. Today you got a very important ruling, but I don't think you got everything you want. I think Jim Kessler, the Vice President of Third Way Policy, is right. I think you maybe didn't get everything you wanted, but you got a good deal more of what you wanted, and that's okay with me. I'm not necessarily arguing against it, mind. I just don't want everybody to be able to have, say, machine guns. Especially in dense urban areas. But, you know, I've lived in dense urban areas most of my adult life, and I've seen, you know, what handgun violence can do, although I know it's people who shoot people, not guns who shoot people.
That's right.
Thank you very much for your call, Oz. I'm Erin Hart, filling in for Mario Solis Maric. We're going to go to traffic with Scott Boylan. And I'm Erin Hart, filling in. Here's the number to join us in conversation. 303-713-7600. It's Erin at erinhartshow.com. Love to have your emails. It's 4:32 in the afternoon in Denver. Welcome and thank you for joining me. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Hi, this is Erin Hart. I'm filling in on Mario Solis Maric's show. I'm happy to be with you in Denver, my old stomping grounds. Happy to be here. I'm trying to get a picture of a 50 caliber so I can actually remember what it looks like precisely. Man, the bullets are big. Yeah, I don't think you'd be holding this and dialing the phone. So I might be a little worried about Scalia's decision today. 5-4, the justices rule for individual gun rights. That's our focus this first hour. We'll be talking about other topics, too. Those of you who do not want to talk about guns, but we will all, I would imagine, be talking about this a lot of the show, as well as about Dr. Dobson and his slamming of Obama about the Bible. We'll also be talking about Obama and whether you're disappointed with him about FISA. So we'll be talking about all those things and more coming up on the Erin Hart version of the Mario Solis Maric Show. And here's Mark in Denver. Welcome and thank you for joining us. I gather you disagree with the call so far, and I'm glad for it. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I do disagree, mostly because I do think that the our Second Amendment is really talking about the protection of the state, which at that time was done not by standing armies, but militia.
Right.
And so, I mean, if we wanted to go with the continuing with the militia concept, we could certainly do something along the lines of Switzerland, where everyone, you know, every once a month goes out and practices with their weapon. And then, you know, once a year for 2 weeks, they go out and form together in units and perform maneuvers and so on. Wait, we actually have that. That's called the National Guard.
Sure, I know.
So
I know we actually have that.
People,
I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing against the collective right to bear arms in terms of this militia, but I also think that they did not anticipate. Look, rural America in the 1700s was also a pretty scary place to live, and they were also descending from some English common law that said you could keep a gun in your house. And part of the reason they did that is because they didn't want the state to come and round you up and just be able to take you either, that you could have a right to defend yourself. Well, maybe not the state, maybe other people, criminals, say, or outlaws, or, say, rabid deer that wanted to chew you into little pieces. I don't know. I'm being a little facetious here, Mark. But as somebody who grew up in the very rural West, I got to tell you, having a gun sometimes isn't such a bad thing to have in terms of either self-protection or, say, you know, shooting an animal to eat.
Well, you know, I suppose that, you know, having a rifle, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, I just personally think that pistols, the only purpose for them is to kill other people. And I just don't see any need or reason to have those. Again, unless we're going to go back to this concept of every citizen is a member of the militia.
Well,
in which case, then we get training for it and that kind of thing. And we actually have some respect for the weapon.
Well, that might be a good idea anyway, but I have to tell, and one thing the NRA does absolutely correctly is they do offer training in the operation of handguns and gun safety, which I appreciate about them, as long as I'm going to make fun of them too. But I think one of the things that you have to remember is, you know, what started to turn my mind on the Second Amendment in terms of this, from perhaps a more liberal point of view, was I think it was Tampa, Florida, and it was about 15 years ago or so. There was a lot of rape in this particular town, and they made a big point of issuing women small handguns and giving them training, sort of like we see with taser parties now. And so there was this big effort to get women trained to be able to protect themselves. Well, guess what, Mark? Rape dropped quite a bit in that town, and that stood out to me. I'm not necessarily wanting to own a handgun myself necessarily, but on the other hand, it made sense to me in some ways. Now, another friend of mine was reminding me today of Kennesaw, Georgia, where all these people that were ordered, mandated to own a gun, and what happened was, to the chagrin of the Atlanta police, he says, was the Atlanta police suddenly got a lot of criminals getting guns, guess where, from the residential homes in Kennesaw, Georgia. So it's a complicated issue, but I think I have to fall on the side of handguns overall.
Well, I guess I would say, though, that, I mean, if we wanted to put another amendment into the Constitution, we certainly could. That's one of the things that we can do.
And it passed in a heartbeat.
I would say that the Second Amendment itself doesn't actually talk about personal defense, but rather the defense of the state in the clause of the well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of the state.
Right.
So that, again, I really would argue that the Second Amendment really has nothing to do with your personal ownership of, you know, self-protection, anything like that.
I understand. So you would probably, and you would probably agree more with then John Paul Stevens, who said, you would have us believe that over 200 years ago, the framers made a choice to limit the tools available to elected officials wishing to regulate civilian use of weapons. So, you know, and I understand that. I can see both sides pretty clearly. But I guess maybe because I grew up where I did and I've had the experiences I have, I actually find myself, hell is frozen over. I'm with Dave in Boulder, and I agree with Antonin Scalia for maybe the first time ever. I don't know whether this means the apocalypse is right around the corner, but could be. Thank you so much for your time and your help, though, and thanks for a civil discussion. I appreciate it. Thanks, Mark. It's 442 in the Mile High. I'm Aaron Hart filling in on Mario's show. The number is 303-713-7600. It's time to go to AM760 Progressive Traffic with Scott Boylan. Love to check in with you soon, so let's toss it to Scott and get right back. Hi, this is Aaron Hart filling in on Mario Solis Maricha's show. Welcome. He has the day off. I'm working. 303-713-7600. And if you'd like to communicate with me during the show, and thanks, Matthew, and thanks, Tortoiseshell, for writing in so far, Aaron@AaronHartShow.com. We're talking about the big Second Amendment individuals have the right to own handguns at the very least. Dangerous weapons, and that's not defined, not necessarily. Certainly Scalia left room for there to be gun control laws. What shape they'll take is probably going to be up to a bunch of lawsuits and other decisions that go all the way to the Supreme Court. Some people have been hanging in for a while. I'm going to have Jeff Kent and Jeff and try to get all of you in. Also, we'll continue talking about this topic off and on during the hour, although we are going to talk about Dr. Dobson assaulting Barack Obama and his knowledge of the Bible. We'll talk about that coming up. Jeff in Breckenridge, welcome and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good afternoon.
Today.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty swell.
I think, just to jump into it so other people can talk too, I think you're conflating two different concepts, and that is, it's one thing to have laws regulating or not regulating possession, use, whatever, of firearms.
Sure.
It's another thing to make a constitutional right to have a firearm.
Right.
And the big flaw that I saw, and I've only skimmed the decision. It took a while to print out.
Yeah, I've skimmed. I know what you're saying.
The big flaw is that nowhere in the debates over the Second Amendment in Congress did anyone, a single person, ever say they were talking about personal ownership for personal use.
That is true.
It is not was not a concern. It was not
as far as I know. You're accurate.
And I don't think they were saying that people couldn't have guns for their own personal use. It wasn't the topic of conversation.
Right.
And the whole amendment spoke to military matters and the fact that the anti-federalists were afraid that now that Congress had control of the militia as opposed to the states, Congress could disarm them. The other thing that I don't see addressed, although I may have missed it, is the Second Amendment has always been interpreted as only applying to the federal government. In other words, the First Amendment, other amendments in the Bill of Rights, eventually got incorporated to operate against state action as opposed to federal action, too.
True.
Like freedom of religion. There used to be state churches. Eventually, after the Civil War and the 14th Amendment, they said, no, the First Amendment guarantees that the state can't have their own church, too. But it's always been the law that the Second Amendment has applied only to action by the federal government. And that makes sense if you think of it in terms of a restriction on the federal government disarming state militias.
Well, but then again, I guess what I have to say to that is that, and I understand, in my view, there's no untouchable constitutional right guaranteed by the Second Amendment. You're right in line with Stephen Breyer, who says there's no right to keep loaded handguns in a crime-ridden urban area. And that's the part that gives me the most pause, to tell you the truth. But on the other hand, I think if the framers had been living in our time, they would have said handguns were okay. I mean, like I said, I'm looking for ice crystals on the trees outside because I actually agree a little bit with some of the things that Antonin Scalia says, because normally I just cringe and want to plug my ears and sing whenever I read anything he writes. But, you know, I think one of the things that I see what you're saying, and I see the distinction, and I see how you could see that there is a conflation here. But I do believe that the D.C. gun ban went too far. And it also is mitigated by the fact that, I don't know what it is, like 25 to 30 states. I don't remember the precise number, forgive me. But several dozen states, at least a couple of them anyway, have laws on the books making it a constitutional right to keep and bear arms.
Absolutely.
So you know, they're doing that on their own individual basis. I see no problem with the feds joining them.
I think, however, and then I'll get off because I know there's other people waiting.
You got it.
I think, actually, Madison, who was the primary author of the amendment, and Jefferson, who wasn't involved in it except writing back and forth to Madison, they only talked about the militia. They didn't talk about an individual right to own guns, really. And that's what they were concerned with. But Madison and the framers understood implicitly that the individual states had their own police powers and could regulate things how they wanted. They didn't argue with that. They were involved in forming a federal government and limited federal powers, but they understood that the states could pass their own laws and could exercise their own police powers. So I'm not so sure Madison would take the position you're suggesting that he would agree that people should be able to have handguns. I don't know what his position would be. They certainly couldn't foresee it. But the real issue is everybody talked about D.C. being the murder capital and the gun ban didn't do any good, and that's true. But there's so many states you can just drive over a bridge from D.C., buy a gun, and bring it back into the city.
No, it's true, and that's one of the big problems all around. Thank you very much for your time and your help. I do believe the gun ownership should be restricted, though, in several different ways. 450, I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. Mario Solis has the day off. I'm filling in for him. You can get in touch with me at aaron@aaronhartshow.com. Time to check in again with traffic because it is afternoon drive after all. Scott Boylan will bring you all the traffic coming up. Thanks, Scott, on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart filling in for Mario Solis Amarich. I'll be back with you next hour or two. 4:53 it is in the Mile High. Very hot today, but we're having a good time talking about the Second Amendment ruling today. Time to check in with Jeff in Evergreen. Welcome, Jeff. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. after 9/11, after 9/11, I'm a United Airlines pilot. We obviously lost a few pilots on that day.
Yes,
sadly.
You did.
And I decided to join the Federal Flight Deck Officer Program.
You
which,
did, where you can carry a gun on an airplane.
I am, and I do. And I've been trained, and we have to requalify every 6 months to make sure we can shoot straight.
Good.
And I also like you, I live in the mountains and a lot of wildlife and, you know, bears, what have you. And I've grown up hunting and grown up around guns. I can appreciate the people that don't, you know, want to have them, want to own them. But we wouldn't be in the mess. Think about this. If we had had protection on 9/11, what would today in the year 2008 look like?
Yeah,
it might be a whole different animal.
Since I have you, I'm going to go ahead and ask you the dumb question I always hear and have in my own head. I will add quickly. I don't think it's a dumb question because actually there are no dumb questions. But what happens if you fire a gun on a plane at 35,000 feet or 43,000 feet or whatever?
You know, that's a good question. There were a lot of people that were against having guns in the cockpit, and that was one of their arguments. And believe it or not, I flew the 747 for a number of years across the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean, and in the original model, the 747, they had a square, if you can imagine, about a six by six hole, the size of, you know, for the old Sexton star chute.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So
I gotcha.
they would open that up to do star chutes. And then the new model, 747-400, now they just use it for, like, if we were to have smoke in the cockpit. So, in other words, that hole can be opened up in flight.
You don't smoke while you're flying, do you?
No, if there was
I'm
a smoke.
Teasing.
Yeah. If we were to have, like, a irregular procedure, like smoke in the cockpit, we can open that hole.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The point being, that's a big hole. And if you were to fire a gun, they make a whole lot. It's actually happened here, as you probably know. But
a plane can take a couple of holes.
It can take a lot of holes. And so that was one of the arguments for us not having them.
I feel better.
Yeah, you should. And, you know, I think it should make you feel good that we have federal air marshals, federal flight deck officers. We have people on board that today that you don't know behind that door. The doors
responsible gun ownership doesn't bother me at all. I'm not sure I want them on schoolyards. I'm not sure I want them in workplaces. You know, too many people are living precarious lives sometimes. And until we get better mental health care in this country, I think we're going to have to examine very seriously where we allow people to carry guns. But I'm very comforted by the fact, Jeff, that you must qualify every 6 months, that, you know, they're on top of what you know and what you don't, and that you take your responsibilities seriously.
To be accepted into the program is quite a, you know, there's quite a background check. I mean, you have to see a psychologist. You have to do testing. It's not just, you know, I want a gun. Here you go. No, it's quite an extensive process. And if we had maybe more of that for people that wanted to just own a gun, I think you could see you could make the point that owning guns would be better for everyone.
Yeah, I think you're dumb if you don't. I mean, my father made us learn everything about you know, how to hold them, how serious they were. They showed us how they worked. He showed us what it meant when you shot something. You know, and I think you need to know. It's just like driving a car. If you learn how to drive a car without driver's ed, I don't particularly want to know you. And if you operate a gun without getting very good schooling, I don't want to know you either. You know, I mean, I just think it makes a lot of sense. There are lethal weapons, and you better learn how to operate them.
We had to fight the Bush administration in order for that to happen.
I know you did.
Just as a side note. So.
No, I know you did, and I, you know,
which is ironic because you know we get the TSA, we've got a lot of other things, but the one thing that would have had some serious deterrence to 9/11 would have been a gun in the cockpit.
Well, that is true. Certainly, it would have not have won over a box cutter, you know, and that it would have won. I mean, it would have beaten a box cutter by a mile, at least, hopefully. So I understand what you're saying. And I, you know, am comforted by the fact that there are air marshals that ride the planes. And certainly there are not enough of them to be able to ride every flight, even with Frontier's cuts today. So thank you. And I appreciate your talking to us openly about what you do and how it works for you.
Thank you. I love Air America.
Thank you. Me too. It's 4:58. I'm Aaron Hart filling in on the Mario Solis Marit Show. I will be back with you coming up. We'll be talking to Rabbi Daniel Wiener about what the heck is Dr. James Dobson doing again, running after Barack Obama and saying he doesn't understand what everyone mistakenly calls the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. What are we doing with all the Barack Obama? You get assaulted from every side, including the left. And we'll be talking about that coming up. Last hour, save it up for the FISA controversy. What happens when a candidate disappoints you? What do you do? Do you run into the arms of Ralph Nader? I hope not. What a jerk. Coming up on the Aaron Hart version of the Mario Show, 303-713-7600. Stand by for the news, and we'll be right back coming up on his show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.